Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Well, today, this is definitely not your typical Mother's Day sermon, but you know we preach scripture by scripture here at Hope City. So we're in this series called The Mask of Religion. And I want to tell you something, the religious spirit, the mask of religion is something that we need to address and how we unmask that, how we take that off. We're continuing in the book of Matthew, so we're going to be in Matthew 22. If you've got your Bibles with you, open up. It's one of the most intense defining moments of all scripture, these two, three chapters. If you remember back, starting on Matthew 21, we're in the final week of Jesus' life. We're in the final of the Passion Week. And so there is so much that happens within these scriptures. It's, talk about a whirlwind, the final days of Jesus' life. Everything's accelerating, everything matters, and when somebody knows their time is short, they're going to deal, they don't waste words, they don't play it safe, they don't hold back, they lean in, and that's exactly what Jesus was doing. You look at what he did the last 7 days of his life, and it was life-changing. And that's what we're looking at today. Jesus spoke against religion and the religious leaders a great deal in the Bible. In fact, he had his harshest criticism for people that would look religious on the outside but empty on the inside. He reserved this criticism to say, listen, religion is not what I'm asking you. Relationship is what I'm asking you. And I want to tell you something. Religion is not the same as relationship. And today, that's the title of our message. It's not the same. It's not the same. The religious leaders of the day, they looked through the lens of religion versus relationship, and it clouded how they saw others, how they saw Jesus, and ultimately how they saw God. I've heard people, and I work in with films and Hollywood, and one of the things I hear all the time is, man, I'm not very religious. And I go, well, I'm not either. I love Jesus, but I'm not religious. And they look at me like, what are you talking about? I go, religion is following a bunch of man-made rules that we put together to try to get to God. Relationship is saying, Jesus, it's only through you and what you've done on the cross that I have access to God. That's relationship. And today, I think the American church, we play a lot of religion, but I wonder where our relationship is with Jesus. Actually, allowing Jesus to change our lives. When Jesus Christ confronted the Pharisees, he wasn't condemning devotion to God. He was confronting empty religion. Outward holiness without inward surrender. Spiritual pride without humility and tradition without truth. Listen, if you have pride in your life, you need humility. Spiritual pride, you know what that looked like for the disciples or looked like for the religious? Well, we're better than you because we go to the temple 7 times a week. We have the Bible written all over on our heads and in our arms and all of that stuff. None of that matters if it doesn't transform you and change the inside.
That's right.
You can have every ritual in the world and that doesn't save you. It's empty religion without outward holiness, without inward surrender. Spiritual pride without humility and tradition without truth. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Yeah.
This is religion in one sentence. Close with your mouth, but far with your heart. Religion is man's made-up plan to get to God by trying to be perfect and following all the laws that we create. Many of us, if you've grown up in church, you might have grown up in a church that have all these rules. You need to do this, you need to do that. And listen, what it causes is it causes striving. It causes us to try to think that we can be perfect when in all reality, there is nothing that you can do that would cause Jesus to love you any more or any less than he already does.
That's right.
It's not about being perfect. It's not about being cleaned up. Relationship is understanding. It's the opposite. It's near to God in heart, surrendered in spirit, and it's a transformed life. God is not concerned about rituals. He's concerned about your heart being transformed. He's concerned about him being able to change your heart. Relationship is recognized by how much Jesus loves me in spite of my sin and not being perfect. Religion is knowing about God. Relationship is knowing God. Religion changes your schedule. Relationship changes your heart. Religion is performance for God. Relationship is surrendered to God. A religious person is often more focused on the rules, the rituals, and the appearances that want than a true, genuine heart of transformation. They're wearing a mask that makes them look good on the outside but empty on the end. And that's exactly what Jesus would address when he came to talk to the Sadducees. We were talking in our early morning prayer, and this is the danger of religion. Okay, here's what it is. It comes out of a good heart. Because the Sadducees were trying to get as close as they could to God. They were trying to get close. They were trying to make sure that they were in right relationship with God. And they did their best, but it turned into a moment of striving and human, like they looked at them in the mirror saying, it's all on you. And it changes because it's a control moment where you listen, if you are religious enough in their mind, then you've made it. And Jesus is saying, that's not enough. You can't be religious enough to experience me. It's about relationship. In our world today, you can look around and see that people hide behind all kinds of masks. Masks that hide who they truly are. Masks that hide what's really going on in their hearts. You might have grown up in a family where you had to strive, right? And maybe that's your perspective of God now, is I have to strive to get his love. And Jesus is saying, no, I've already done it on the cross. You don't have to strive. I already love you. I already see you as valuable. All I want is a relationship with you. Yeah. It takes the pressure off of our shoulders. And that is freedom. That pressure comes off of our shoulders because there's not one person that's perfect enough. There's not one person that can earn salvation. Jesus already did it for you. Masks hide what's really going on in people's hearts, and that's exactly where the Sadducees were. They're one way in public and another in private. It's really the greatest issue with the American church today. We know about God, but we don't know God. And that's something that we have to make a commitment to. Listen, it's what Jesus called out in the religious leaders of the day in Matthew 23. You go one chapter forward, and he said this, what sorrow awaits for teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. What mask are you wearing today? What mask have you had on that you need to take off? Because God already knows what that mask reveals. And that mask can sometimes become almost a wall that God can't even break through. Church, have you ever had something that looked real but wasn't? You thought it was the real thing. It looked right, it sounded right, it felt right, but it wasn't the same. That's the thing with religion, is it sounds right, it looks right, it's off just a little bit, and it's a counterfeit from the enemy. Counterfeit money looks close, but it's not real. It has no real value. Artificial flowers look beautiful, but they have no life in them. Don't give your mom artificial flowers today. I'm just telling you right now. A knockoff brand may look like the original, but it doesn't carry the same quality, strength, or power. There's a definite difference between a Rolodex and a Rolex, I promise you. Religion can look like faith, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Coming to church is not the same as knowing God. Knowing the Bible stories is not the same as surrendering your life to Jesus. In fact, I would rather have you read one verse a year and let it transform you than read through half of this Bible and you don't know even what it said. Wow. Having Christian language is not the same as having a transformed heart. Looking spiritually alive is not the same as being made alive by resurrection power. And some people in this room, if we're honest, we've gotten comfortable wearing the mask of religion. We know when to stand. We know when to sit. We know when to clap. We think we own the seats that we're sitting in the church. Nobody owns seats here. So if somebody's in your seat, never, ever ask them to move. All right? Your name is not on that seat. But we're glad you're here. All right. We know how to pray polished prayers. We know how to look good on Sunday and still be empty Monday through Friday. Jesus says it's not the same. There's a dangerous thing that can happen in church. You can get close enough to faith to look changed, to sound changed, and even convince you're changed while your heart is still far from God. You can learn the language of worship. Know when to lift your hands. Know the right verses to quote. Know how to smile, serve, and say all the right things. Yet you still are empty inside. Still wrestling with fear. Still chained by sin. Still spiritually dry. And still missing the transformation power of a relationship with Jesus. And today, that's why I think the church looks no different than the world in a lot of things. You guys are really quiet. Thank you. In the Gospel of Matthew 22, Jesus confronts a group of religious leaders who had mastered looking spiritual but had completely missed the heart of God, the Sadducees. And I want to tell you, I've been to Israel before. Back in November, I was in Israel. And I went to the Wailing Wall. And it's something in my heart. I cried for the people that were at that wall. Because there were men who had the Bible on their head. You know how in Deuteronomy it says to put it on your head. They had this little Bible attached to their head. They had all these things wrapped around their arms. They were being so religious, but they never knew who Jesus was. They denied Jesus still. And they're at the wall. They carry the Bible everywhere they went. They thought that they were in right relationship, but the problem is religion is a counterfeit to relationship. Wow. His message was to these people, and it is still to us, it's clear. What looks like faith is not always faith, and what religion offers is not the same as what Jesus came to give. Yeah. Do you catch that? What religion offers is not what Jesus came to give. In today's portion of Scripture, Jesus deals with two of the greatest problems with the mask of religion, and it's still incredible problems today in the church. He called on these two things out. He called two things out in the religious leaders that he was talking to. Let's read it together. Open your Bibles up to Matthew 22. We'll start in 23. Okay, so chapter 22, verse 23. All right, if I can get it out here. The same day Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say that there was no resurrection from the dead. What that means is that Jesus wasn't going to resurrect and that none of us are going to resurrect in the air like we read about in Revelation. They simply did not believe that. Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies without children, and see, here's what I want you to understand. They recognize him as a teacher, not the Savior. Do you catch that? When they said teacher, they weren't saying Savior. They didn't recognize who Jesus was. Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children, so his brother married the widow. This sounds like a reality TV show. I'm just saying. But the second brother also died, and the third brother married her. This continued with all seven of them. Last of all, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? They were trying to trip Jesus up. And he said this. Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Remember, the Sadducees had spent their whole life in this book, and Jesus said, you don't know the scripture. You don't know it. You don't understand it. You don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. But now, as whether there will be a resurrection of the dead, haven't you ever read about this in the scriptures? Long live Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died. God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. When the crowds heard him, they were astonished by his teaching. The religious leaders were threatened. Jesus is exposing hearts. He ripped that mask of religion off right there. He's flipping tables, not just in the temple, but in people's theology. This would have completely shook the Sadducees down to their core. These guys were elite. They were educated. They were sophisticated. They were wealthy, influential, theological experts. They knew religion, but they didn't know resurrection. And they ask Jesus what they think is the impossible question, a ridiculous story about a woman married seven times. They would have read about resurrection too. They would have known that Jesus was about to be resurrected. He would die and be resurrected, and they still denied it. Religion denies the truth, and it gives you a man-made perspective of how you think you can get to God. that question, whose wife will she be in heaven? They think they're trapping Jesus, but Jesus turns around and exposes them. Your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Could Jesus say the same thing to us today? Your mistake is you don't know this word and you don't know God's power. I think he could say that to the American church. You don't know this word and you don't know the power of God. The two greatest issues. And I want to tell you something. The power of God is the only thing that enlightens this word. People, I've heard them say, and especially in the valley, well, we just need more word. We just need more word. We need more word. I go, no, you need more power and you need more word coupled together that transforms your life. You don't need more of just empty words. And this only comes alive when the power of the Holy Spirit is guiding you and you've opened up your life to relationship. There's a big difference between reading God's word and really knowing God's word. This would have been an inflammatory statement to the Sadducees. They would have said, we've read this over and over again. We have it put on our hearts. We have it wrapped around. We have it binded to us. And Jesus was saying, you might know it, but you don't truly know it. Jesus was saying, you wear the mask, but what's underneath is empty. It looks spiritual, but not the same. Church, one of the most dangerous things in our walk with God is when we start mistaking religion for relationship. Because from the outside, it can look very similar. They are not the same. Religion knows how to show up, how to say the right things, how to lift their hands at the right moment, how to quote scripture, how to look polished on the outside but still empty on the inside. Religion can make you look like you're close to God while your heart is quietly drifting far from Him. But Jesus did not die so we could become better looking spiritual. Spiritually, He died so we could be transformed, made alive, and walk in real freedom and power. He didn't come to put a mask on us because a mask brings bondage. You have to pretend you're one way. And listen, Jesus is saying, I have changed you so that you can be transformed. He didn't come to put a mask on us. He came to break the chains off of us. And today, I believe Jesus is calling people out of routine, out of performance, out of surface-level faith into something deeper, something real, something life-changing. Because what religion offers may look good, but when you encounter the living Christ, you realize everything is not the same. It is life-changing. When you realize you don't have to strive, it's not on your shoulders. You're going to make mistakes. And because you have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, His love is going to carry you through that. Some of you need to take a breath because you thought it has been on your shoulders, and it's not. It's on His. All He's looking for is a relationship. I want to share with you four key points really quickly when it comes to the mask of religion, how to break free of this mask. Point number one, information is not transformation. The Sadducees knew the scripture intellectually. They had degrees, training, position, reputation, but Jesus says, you don't know the scriptures. Wait, well, of course they knew the scriptures. But Jesus is saying, you know words, but you don't know the truth. You know facts, but you don't know me. You know theology, but you don't know transformation. You can read this book until you're blue in the face, and if it doesn't change you, you're missing out. There's a difference between reading the Bible and letting the Bible read you. Quoting scripture and submitting to scripture. Why do you think the enemy is after this book? Why do you think he's trying to convince our generations that this book, oh, it's a bunch of good ideas, but is it really the Word of God? I mean, all these men wrote it. Stop buying into the lies of the enemy because this book will transform you if you live by it. There's a difference between knowing Jesus and being known by Jesus. In fact, there's a scripture that tells us there's going to be a day when Jesus looks at us and He says, as we walk into the throne, there's going to be a day when people look, Jesus says, listen, away from me, for I never knew you. We want to be known by Him, and it's by relationship. Some people know church, but they don't know Christ. You know worship lyrics, but your heart doesn't change. You know sermon language, but you don't live surrendered Monday through Saturday. You know how to look faithful, but inside you're bitter, anxious, exhausted, and spiritually numb. I want to tell you something about the religious spirit. One of the hallmarks is offense. Walking around being offended at everything. Well, I'm just offended at this, and I'm offended at that. If you want to be offended about something, you're going to be able to find it. Okay? Anywhere you've got people, Some people say, well, I just wish I could go to a perfect church. The minute you walk in the door, it's not perfect anymore. You're going to be offended. Okay? Offense turns into bitterness, and it's one of the biggest roots of the religious spirit. You've got to let offense go. You've got to forgive. You have to say, God, I'm not going to let bitterness get into my life. The Sadducees held offense. They were bitter. But it's not the same when you live in relationship with God. When you say, Jesus, I'm handing you all of this stuff. And you might go, well, I'm not going to apologize till they apologize to me. That's not needed. It needs to be a work in your heart. With bitterness and unforgiveness, what I always say, if you hold on to it, it's like you drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. You got to let go of it. It's not the same. Hey, listen, you can sit in a garage all day, you're still not going to become a car. You can sit in a church every week, and that still doesn't mean you're going to be changed. God did not call us to become religious. He called us to become new creation. And I want to tell you something. If you sit in church week after week after week after week and you're never changed, you better look at things. Point number two, we need to be about both the word and the power. Jesus said it. That was your biggest problem. You don't know the word and you don't know God's power. He was clear when he called the Sadducees out. The mask of religion works very well for people who like to be in control. The minute you take that mask off and you let Jesus be in control of your life, you no longer are. You are giving up control to your life. You can't control God or his power. He's sovereign, and he has a plan for your life. And in spite of the plan that you have, God has a better plan. The good news is that God has such a good plan for your life, and he has good things in store if you will trust him. But too many people say, I want to be in control. Yes. Too many people say, man, I'm not going if God asks me to do that. In fact, don't tell God no, because that's exactly where you'll end up, right? If you have veered off and you're away from God's plan, all you have to do is just come right back to it. His plans for you do not change. Like Pastor Cherie read, he knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were even there. The only way that the word can come alive in our lives is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just reading words on a page doesn't mean that they've come alive. Doesn't mean that it's transformed you. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it's living by God's power. Talk is cheap. Life transformation is priceless. If you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never be able to truly understand the Word of God. That's why we teach on the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit here at Hope City. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the things that we read about in the Bible, because that's what brings your life alive. We believe in worship that is powerful and Holy Spirit filled, because that's where transformation takes place. Point number three, explaining God is not the same as experiencing God. The Sadducees had reduced God to logic. If they couldn't explain resurrection, they rejected it. If it didn't fit into their framework, they dismissed it. And some people still do this today. We want a God that we can manage, predict, control, and understand. And when he doesn't do things our way, we get disappointed. But I'm so thankful he doesn't do things our way, because he sees the bigger plan. There's some people I've heard say before, well, how could a loving God allow this to happen to people, good people? And the answer to that is because sin entered into the world. The minute that sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. Sickness entered into the world. So stop being mad at God and turn your eyes to where they need to be. If your God fits neatly inside your understanding, he's too small. My God speaks galaxies into existence. My God parts the seas. My God heals blind eyes. My God breaks addiction. He restores marriages. He resurrects dead dreams. My God raises dead hearts to life. And if that doesn't get you fired up and excited, I'm not sure what will. You can't reduce an infinite God to human reasoning. There's people that I've heard say, well, I just don't understand God. I can't make it work in my mind. Listen, you don't need to work it in your mind. You need to have faith and say, God, I trust you enough, because you're not going to understand him. You're not going to understand how he does what he does, because the Bible says his way are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I'm thankful for it. Because we only have finite thinking, where God has a much more expansive plan than what we could ever imagine. Faith says, I may not understand it, but I trust him. Miracles begin when human explanation ends. So I always love it when a doctor says, there's nothing else we can do. We've done all that we can do. That's when God can step in. Right? Or when a doctor says, man, there's no hope. It's not going to change. We know it does change. We know that God can change things in an instant. Some of you explained away God and what God wants to do by saying, well, I will always struggle. My family's never going to change. The marriage is too broken. My purpose is gone. I've gone too far. Stop speaking death over your life and line yourself up with God's plan. And listen, dead things are where Jesus does his best work. So stop looking at dead things and thinking that God can't resurrect it, because that's the same thing the Sadducees did. Right. Point number four, looking alive is not the same as resurrection life. Wow. Jesus says God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And it changes everything. Jesus didn't come to make bad people slightly better. He came to make dead people alive. Some people are breathing, but they're spiritually dead. Alive physically, but dead spiritually. Smiling publicly, but dying privately. Busy externally, but empty internally. And Jesus came so that we would have so much more. And it happens by relationship. Religion teaches performance. Jesus offers resurrection. Religion says, try harder. Jesus says, come alive. Religion says, clean yourself up. And Jesus says, come as you are and let me transform you. Religion says, wear the mask. And Jesus says, take it off. Because it's not the same. We are not truly alive spiritually until we stop hiding behind the mask of religion. So here's my question for you. What mask have you been wearing? The I'm fine mask, the church mask, the success mask, the moral mask, the polished mask. Are you afraid that when you take that mask off, what are people going to think about you being honest? If you're afraid that when you take that mask off, what's Jesus going to think about me? He already knows what you look like without that mask, and he still loves you. He still loves you. The mask that says, I know God, but deep down, you know you're far away. Have you settled for religion versus a relationship with God? Are you busy hiding from God because you know where your heart truly is? Newsflash, so does he. Hear me. He's not intimidated by what's under your mask. He already knows. And he still calls you. He still loves you. He still reaches for you. He still offers resurrection life. Fake peace is not the same as God's peace. Fake joy is not the same as Holy Spirit joy. Religious activity is not the same as relationship. Head knowledge is not the same as heart surrender. Some of you, if we were to be truthfully honest, you'd say, I don't want God telling me what to do. But surrender says, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Yeah. It's not the same. And today Jesus is calling us not to religion, not to appearances, but to not to spiritual performance, but to life, to truth, to freedom, to resurrection power. Take off the mask, step into the light, and discover what real faith feels like. Because what Jesus offers is not the same. It's better. It's deeper. He's already seen what you look like without that mask, and he's saying, come to me, I want to help you work through this. Will you bow your heads across this room? If you're tired of settling for religion versus relationship, and you say, Pastor, I've never surrendered my life, the first step is saying, Jesus, I need you. I need to give you my life. I need to surrender. I need to put you in charge. See, and that's the thing. The Sadducees, when they were confronted with this truth, they did not change. They got harder. And they would send Jesus to the cross 3 days later. When you're confronted with a message like this, you have the same decision. God, am I going to allow you to soften my heart, or am I going to harden my heart to you? And today, my prayer is that you would say, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. I want to surrender my life to you. Jesus, I need to give it over to you. And listen, you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, man, Jesus will reach you wherever you're at. You take one step to him, he'll take the rest of the steps that are needed. If you're here and you say, Pastor, today I need to give my life to Jesus, I'm away from him. Would you just lift up a hand right now? I want to pray with you.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.